Welcome to Success AF, Customer Success Podcast Series. This is JD.
And this is Elena.
In this series two of our podcast, we explore customer success trends and the future of CS. Each episode is a short and insightful discussion or interview. We also apply a global lens to explore cultural nuances that create a unique twist. In this episode, we have my friend from Anthony from Google, who joins us to discuss partner success in the software as a service, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service ecosystem. Remember to subscribe for more Success AF.
Hey, Anthony, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Would you like to introduce yourself to our guests?
Sure. Thanks, Alina. Thank you for having me over on your show. It's a privilege to be here along with yourself and JD. I'm a partner development executive and a sales strategist with about a little over 20 years of experience across different markets. I've worked in APAC, in Middle East, and presently I'm working with Google as an operations and enablement lead for the third-party ecosystem team managing APAC. My previous assignments have been with a software company called Elastic and a large hardware software giant called Cisco. And my role was to develop the partner ecosystem and grow the software and the services business for these two organizations. So that's me, Elena.
Wow, great. Thank you very much for that. So we had a little bit of a chat earlier. I think one of our common topics of late has been, what new lockdown circuit breaker type hobbies have you picked up? Anything interesting that you've picked up lately?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say lockdown, and it's kind of in a certain way, it is what it is, right? I think something that's, which is very close to my heart, and it's something that I always loved doing when I was a child, along with my mother. I've always been fond of gardening, right? But given the hectic travel schedule that we had pre-COVID, I wish it's come back. We didn't have the time to do gardening, so I couldn't do justice to my love for gardening. However, with the lockdown, as you mentioned, right, it gave me a chance to return to my hometown, got a small piece of land here, and I've rediscovered my joy for gardening. The good part is that my spouse also enjoys gardening, and it's become a family hobby. So it's a time where the family comes together. We cherish this time we spend with our plants. And like all partnerships, gardening is a testimony of how patience and care can result into a beauty that satisfies the soul.
Wow.
Oh, that is beautiful.
It is.
And I have one interesting tip to share with you. So one of my aunts, she had this, she came down and is like, oh, wow, you know, you've got a really nice vegetable garden. And I'm like, yeah, but I forgot which one I planted where. And she did this nice magic, and I'd like to share with all the listeners and both of you on the call. She just picked up a leaf. She touched the leaf. She didn't pluck it out, and just rubbed it between her index finger and her thumb. And what happens is, when you do that, the leaf actually releases a certain oil, I guess, something of that sort, and which emanates a smell similar to the fruit it's going to bear. And I tried this on lady's finger, cucumber, and pumpkin, and boy, the same smell, they smelled absolutely the same.
Wow.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I never knew. We should definitely try it out, Elena.
Yeah.
Right, but also, thanks for sharing us what you have picked up recently. I'm sure our listeners will be very glad to get some of these tips and probably pick up gardening. I have actually started growing a few plants at home myself, and I've been sharing with Anthony and Elena earlier that I've had this snake plant right below my monitor that apparently sucks away all the negative effects of radiation coming from the devices.
It's looking good.
It is looking good. I was also saying yeah, that previously all the plants I've had just, you know, died regardless of how much effort I tried, or maybe I didn't put in enough effort into growing them. But I did want to talk more about what Anthony is here to share with us today on partner success and the collaboration with customer success and how to make our customers get the most value out of the solutions that they're purchasing. So Anthony, could you tell us a bit more from your perspective of what you think partner success is?
Sure. So one of the key ingredients to establish a successful growing business that relies on channels is a mutually beneficial relationship. And the essence of this relationship is the harmony between the vendor, the partner, and the customer. Mm. The path to establish this harmony is partner success. Now, traditionally, this role has been played by partner managers, and the growing importance of partner success in many companies has resulted in dedicated organizations. And initially, I was like, if the partner managers are already doing this, why do you need a dedicated organization for partner success? And here is why. Like, let me walk you through with a few examples. So while I was working with Cisco, one of the hardware vendors, I realized that the partners were primarily of two types. They would be either resellers or value-added resellers.
Yeah.
Now, these resellers are the ones who are primarily focusing their energies on fulfillment, right? So they'd just be box movers or box pushers. And then there would be these value-added resellers who focus more on designing, sizing the solution from a product perspective, right? So that's the perspective of the partner. When you look at it from a customer's perspective, they would buy hardware or a solution at a negotiated price to deliver limited scope, right? Now, this is where it gets a little more interesting. Once the hardware sale is complete, which is usually the bulk of the deal, the renewables, which is what happens the next year, is just the support services, which at times is not a good return of investment of time for the partner, right? So soon organizations started to realize that, hey, we are leaving money on the table. And also the customers were only using a limited set of features from a bouquet of features that the product potentially had to offer. And now this resulted in a fierce price negotiation and also at times churn because the customers did not see a meaningful return of investment, right? Because they were only using a limited set of features. Now, Cisco saw this as an opportunity and they changed the way they sold the solution. So what they did was essentially decoupled the hardware and the software, making the software license that is used to run the hardware and its associated feature sets as a separate license. So this was more like Cisco's entry into becoming or evolution into becoming a software company. Now, not only did it give Cisco better pricing control, it also gave birth to a new organization called Customer Experience, or CX for short. Now, the primary focus of CX was customer success. The goal of this organization was to allow customers to unlock the full potential of the solution and thereby the relationship that they have with the organization. And I think it was a great move because it was truly appreciated by both customers as well as investors in Cisco alike. And I can say that proudly because the stock price went up and I'm really happy about that move. So I'm sure you must be wondering why I'm talking about customer success here. Well, the interesting bit in the story is that a large part of Cisco's business was transacted via partners. Hence, getting the partners on board was critical, which laid the foundation of an organization called Partner Experience, wherein Cisco identified a list of must-not-fail partners to build an organization purely focused on partner experience. So like a customer experience organization, a similar partner experience organization was built. So that was the hardware side of business. Now, the second example that I'd like to share today is with my experience at Elastic, which is a pure software company. And I, as a partner manager, had an interesting realization, which I'm sure it resonates with you as well, JD, is that partner success is super critical, given that the software business mostly are subscription-based, right? So here on the software side, protecting the install base is super critical, right? And that can only happen when the customer unlocks the full value of the subscription over time, which usually leads to expansion of the install base, and that subsequently leads to upgrades to gain access to premium features. Right? It is the partner that provides the customer with this valuable service and support that helps them unlock the value from their product. Right? So the partners act like that bridge to do that. Partner success as a role, and thereby the organization, ensures that partners are aligned with the vendors and the customer business priority. This team also ensures that the partners are capable of executing the joint vision to build a mutually profitable business. And hopefully we'll probably unpack this a little more as we progress, JD.
Thank you for sharing, Anthony. That was very insightful. And that throws me back to our times at Elastic, even though both of us have moved on now, and how successful that relationship was between the partner organization and the customer success organization.
And that's really interesting, Anthony, that you speak about the partnership between partner success and customer success. So how can customer success managers and partner slash BD teams collaborate for business success?
Now, this question is most relevant in any business that has a software aspect to it. Right? So it could be a company that's dealing with hardware. It could be a manufacturer of equipment, it could be a service provider. So anybody who's dealing with a software, this is a very relevant question. So thank you for asking that question. Software essentially needs to be customized to suit an organization's need and often requires ongoing support, right? So there's a certain level of customization that the customers would require, or their solutions need to be tailored in a certain fashion around the software to realize the full value of the product or the service, right? The customer success team, as a part of the vendor organization, is closest to the product. So that's one end of the spectrum. The partners, and this is most relevant in APAC, is usually more closer to the customer, which is the other end of the spectrum, essentially because there is this ongoing dynamics of a local language requirement, cultural sensitivity. Right? So the partners being in that market are acutely aware of the cultural requirements and are very conversant with the local language, which is a big advantage from a partnership perspective.
And so that's a great point, and that's something that we've been talking about a lot recently, is how when it comes to scaling in Asia, you really do have a dependency on partners in terms of being able to enter those emerging markets.
Oh, absolutely. So I've always seen partners as builders, right? So they build these beautiful bridges, because they bridge the local language and the cultural needs of the customer with vendors, primarily because if you join any organization, like three of us are in different organizations, and the organization-wide language is English. However, when you're talking to a customer, that may not be their first language, or that may not be their preferred language. So it's very important to have somebody on the table on your side who helps you build that bridge with the customer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, coming back to the initial point of the collaboration between the various teams, such as the customer success team, the business development team, and the partner success team, I'd like to share a few more points around that, which is the customer success team, along with the partner team within an organization, can help identify the varied needs of the customers and then empower the partners to drive the alignment around the organization goals and the customer goals. So the CSM brings the knowledge of the product and the needs of the organization, passes the baton on to the partner, who then ensures that the customer goals and the customer alignment happens with the organization. So it's a very synchronous relationship, and only when it yields the desired results. Now, there are a few programs that have been used. So for example, prescriptive learning paths, organizational rigor, structured steps to unlock product value for customers are a few vehicles that are leveraged by CSMs and the partner teams while driving customer success through partners. If you would allow me to unpack this a little further, I'd like to take an example of a software subscription and explain this, because I've just used some heavy words and I'm not too sure if the audience can really understand this. Right, so I'd like to kind of simplify this a little further with an example. So the subscription, let's take an example and say, like, let's look at the subscription in itself and say, okay, we have a base subscription, which is the basic software. And I need to get some more features, would be the add-on features across different tiers. So like a few organizations out there have enterprise version or an open and a commercial or an open source version. And on top of that is the base software. On top of that, we would have metal tiers such as a gold or a platinum or a bronze or a silver. And each tier has certain feature sets included in it. Right? So that's the usual methodology of selling. Now, what we've come across is when a customer buys the software, they usually buy it for the base functionality that it offers, and often for a couple of critical features. So let's say, you know, the gold brings in certain security features, or it brings in certain algorithms which are not present in the basic version, right? Now, what it means is that the customers only use that software for their identified needs. Now, this is super critical to understand that customers only come with a very focused understanding of their own needs. They are often not aware of the potential that the software carries to unlock new innovation within their organization or new discoveries within the set of data from an analysis perspective, right? So this is where the CSM team, in my opinion, provides absolute value in helping the customers understand the utilization of the software and unlock the full value of the subscription by understanding what are the unused features and how to put them to good use, right? So that's what the CSM team would do. The partner team in the above example would usually work with the CSM team and get themselves trained on this methodology to understand, hey, how can I unlock more features for the customer? How can I ensure that the customer is fully utilizing the software, not only for the initial purpose that they bought it for, but also how can I kind of unlock more features to solve their challenges, which they've not identified yet or did not know that this software can essentially solve for them, which leads to innovation. So the CSM team kind of then helps the partners to ensure that they're trained to unlock this for the customer, right? And in short, if I were to summarize this, the partner team often acts as a glue between the vendor and the customer. And this gets heightened when there are cultural and local language dynamics at play.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Anthony. And I really like that analogy on making sure that the customers have realized that the full value of their software is not just what they think their problem is, but, you know, way beyond that, and solve a whole host of other problems with the solution that they've purchased. But beyond that, being in line with the whole series two of the future of customer success, we would also like to understand what your final thoughts are on the future of partner success in this space. Could you give us a bit more insight there, please?
Oh, absolutely. While this question is about the future, I would like to say that, you know, hey, I'm not a fortune teller, but I can definitely...
Oh, wait, what?
Wait, we thought you were.
But yeah, I can definitely share my experience based on both personal relationship as well as business relationships, that it's very important to meet a partner where they are and then journeying together to drive customer success. This is the path of partner success. And from an organization's perspective, it's important to have flexibility in onboarding new partners and managing partnerships for a different variety set of partners, because there is no one size that fits all, irrespective of how much we try, because the partners in Americas would be very different from partners in APAC, and within partners in APAC, a partner in China is going to be very different from a partner in Australia, right? So you'll always have those in-market nuances playing out. So it's important to meet people where they are. Second thing I'd like to share is partners are and will continue to remain critical to our business. And the way we work on landing and expanding the business, partners remain absolutely critical to it. So partners not only help us land new opportunities, but they also help us consolidate those opportunities and grow them from a total value of contract or TCV perspective. In APAC, partners continue to play this instrumental role of bridging the gap between business and cultural needs. And I think I can't stress this more than I already have, that it's so important to have a partner who understands the cultural sensitivities of a certain market, or how a market operates, and what does the customer say when he actually means this. Right? So you need to kind of get that local understanding, super critical. And from a success perspective for a software as a service company, value add partners who build on top of existing vendor businesses are crucial in maintaining and growing the businesses, because they carry the business to the next level. Your product is only going to offer as much as it is conceptualized to do and as it's perceived to do. It is a partner who really unlocks all of that potential which is in the software, both for the vendor as well as for the customer. And lastly, customer success and partner success are joined at the hip, if you will. These two teams work in tandem and they create loyal customers.
Joined at the hip, not the first time we're hearing it in this series, right?
Yeah, that is so true, isn't it? Look, this has been a really interesting discussion for me, Anthony. I think I mentioned to you last time we spoke that this is something that we're really fleshing out as our partner ecosystem and our approach to partners and partner success. So thank you very much for joining and for your insights. Just to summarize the topic, so three salient and interrelated points. So business relationships are personal relationships. It's important to meet people where they are. And in partner success, that includes enablement, the approach to enablement, and outcome alignment, which lays that foundation for business harmony and having a collaborative partnership. And the importance of customer success as critical to the success of the partner environment. You need customer success to direct the partners in terms of where the ship is heading. And particularly as we look at Asia, partners are instrumental to success in Asia when you're looking to scale into local languages and entering emerging markets.
Wow, that's such a beautiful summary. I couldn't say it better. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony, again for joining. Thank you to our listeners for listening to us again. Please do send along your feedback. Let us know any topics of interest, or of course, if you would like to join us on a future episode. And remember to like or follow Success AF on your favorite podcast platform.